All around the world, men and women, people of all ages, have witnessed the awesome manifestation of God's presence, power, and His love, rendered in words. Words beyond the written pages.
Why are we preaching like this? Why do we travel all around the world preaching the gospel? Because Jesus is coming again. And He left us with a message to tell the untold. A message for the whole world.
This message of faith in God and His unfailing word has brought about change in the lives of millions around the world. An improvement that brings many more to such meetings with the man of God, knowing that their lives will never be the same again. Today we bring you excerpts from a special meeting with our man of God, Pastor Chris.
Pastor Chris, worth hearing.
Activating the power of God.
Jesus Christ was a very exciting person. You know, the Bible tells us when the Holy Spirit came on Jesus to live in Him, He says, then was Jesus driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. He ran to the wilderness. Didn't just walk gently to the wilderness. He ran into the wilderness. Jesus was excited. He wasn't a dull person at all. No dull moments with Jesus. It was exciting. I mean, what would you have expected? He started his ministry when he was 30 years old. And had only 3 years of ministry. And I told you when he resurrected, he came into the room shouting, all hail! That's the kind of person he was. All hail! Exciting. You know, we can choose to take after different kinds of people. Like, you know, you want to be Jeremiah of old, Prophet Jeremiah of old. I mean, every time you come out to prophesy, it's judgment. You know? You have people like that. They're forever haunting something wrong. So they've taken after Jeremiah. Or they're after Elijah. Or even Moses. In fact, the Bible tells us the difference between Moses and Jesus. It says the law came by Moses, but grace and reality came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. So Moses came with the law, but not the reality of the revelation of God. In other words, the law was a veil. They couldn't see through the law to know what God was like. So they had a wrong impression of the personality and character of God. So the Bible says, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. So what Christ came, He says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Truth. Reality. Jesus helped us know the Father, the character and person of the Father. And there's where some people fail to get it. Sometimes they say, oh, Pastor Christ, he doesn't believe in the Trinity. And I say, why do you say Pastor Christ doesn't believe in the Trinity? They say, oh, he says Jesus is God. I said, so what's wrong with that? Then I say, well, I believe in the Trinity. What's Trinity? Trinity is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I believe. They say, oh, you don't really believe, do you? I said, but I do. I do. What? The Bible doesn't contradict it. I didn't create a doctrine out of the person of Jesus. It's what the Bible talks about. So they say, okay, so who is the Holy Spirit? And I say, yo, the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The Father is God. Are there three gods then? I said, no. One God. One God, eternally existent in three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But you will never find Father somewhere, Holy Spirit somewhere, and Jesus standing there. That'll never happen. Because the Holy Spirit is that which proceeds from the Father. And Jesus is the body of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is the Word of the Father. I never had a body like your words. When you speak them out, they don't have a separate body. The word of the Father, the voice of God, never had a body until he was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, Judah. That's when the Word of God was tabernacled in human flesh. And how beautiful this all is. So I say to them, so why do you get confused? And I believe everything you believe and I'm not confused. And I believe all this and I'm not confused. Why are you confused? Because you're looking at God with the eyes of a man. He is God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17. Let's read it. Want to go. The kingdom of God, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, many are enjoying the righteousness of God, which is wonderful, because a lot have been in that atmosphere of good teaching on the righteousness of God. And many have enjoyed the peace of God in their lives, and they're so happy that they have the peace of God in their lives. But not many know the joy of the Holy Ghost. And yet the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And in fact, even though you've been here, there are some who have come with you while you're shouting and screaming and, you know, dancing. They can afford to do that. They're very self-conscious. Very careful. Hoping nobody pushes them on, and they don't, they just want to to be untouched. And then they hope that somehow or another they can receive some special blessing that God is passing out. But you've already waited since yesterday. It hasn't happened yet. Might not happen at all if you keep behaving that way. You know, that's the reason some of you haven't spoken in tongues yet. Even though everybody's speaking in tongues around you, you still don't speak in tongues. Why? Because you're saying to yourself, I don't want to force anything. If God is going to give me his special tongues, he will give me. You believe that somehow, when God is ready, the real tongues will come. And as some of you, you used to speak in tongues until you were deceived by Satan that the tongues you were speaking were made up by yourself. So you stopped. Now you pray with your mouth open, hoping somehow nothing is coming out. You're thinking, I don't want to fake it. Fake it? Why didn't you fake it before you were born again? They were all in the boat. Jesus was walking on the water. They said, who is that? That must be a ghost. And they were screaming out, help! These young guys, they almost passed out. They thought they'd seen a ghost. Jesus said, I'm the one. Don't be afraid. And Peter said, if you're the one, ask me to come to you on the water. What a request. What a request. What if he said, yes, come? It turned out it wasn't Jesus. I tell you something. No, Peter had learned something about Jesus. There was something about the word from the lips of Jesus. It had power. So he's testing this out. You tell me to come. He knew if Jesus said, come, that word will come with power. And once you mix his word with faith, you will have the result. Peter knew he had faith. Tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And he stepped out and actually walked on the water. And guess what? All the others got excited in the boat. Wow, Peter's doing it. Peter's doing it. None of them came out. Then when Peter doubted, because he saw the tall waves and began to sink, I can imagine there was an, that's why I didn't want to come out. That's why I didn't want to come out. Look at him now. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? And got him quickly and walked with him on the water back to the boat. Hallelujah. Here's the beautiful thing. He dared it. It worked. Forget about the doubt later. He did walk on it. I'm not going to fake it. If God will do it, let him do it. I'm not moving. I'm going to stand here. I want only original tongues. You're never going to be full of joy. Because God will never make you laugh. You are the one to do the laughing. Just a second. Just a second. Just a second. When you speak in tongues, the Bible doesn't say, and the Holy Ghost speak in tongues. The Bible says, they speak in tongues or with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Ghost will give you utterance, but you must do the speaking. In other words, when you open your mouth and start talking, he will form the words. You don't have to say, am I going to say T next? Or ha, ha. No, just open and start talking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know the beautiful thing? That's where the power is. God put the power inside so that those who are proud will never get it. Those who think so much about themselves will never get it. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. So that the proud, he says, he has sent away empty. Hallelujah. You know, in the house of God, the power of God is abundantly present. Like we're in this room, power, the power of God is in this place strong. I've seen situations before where I said to someone, you are healed, now get up and walk. And he's looking at me like, Like, don't you know my condition? Get up and walk. Get up and walk. He's looking at me. And then he's saying to himself, okay, I'll try. And then it's difficult for him to get up. Because he's saying, I'll try. And at the same time, I've seen situations where I'm only just advancing, especially people who are younger. Well, I mean, they've been there so long, they don't want another day in the wheelchair. They don't want another day. I'm only just approaching and already they are moving themselves like, come on, let's do it. A little guy, the father said to him, when Pastor Chris touches you, you'll be able to run. He said, I can run? The father said, yes, you can run. Now, he couldn't walk. We're talking about running. He always wanted to run. So he's in his wheelchair. So daddy said, once Pastor Chris touches you, run. So he's waiting. I mean, he's a kid. So he's waiting. He's been told, once Pastor Chris touches you, you can run. So run. So he's waiting. And I'm getting closer and closer. He's waiting. He's going to run today. So I get to him and I put my hands on him. And this boy is already moving. The moment I was gone, he took off. I had to hold him back. I held him back. Hallelujah. And then, of course, allowed him to run. He was excited. And his father picked him up. What a joy. He knew it would work. Why? Because the power was present there. And somebody told him how to step into the power of God. How to activate the power of God in your life. See, a lot of people have been raised in the atmosphere, an environment of doubt for so long that faith has become a challenge in life. They're not sure it'll work. And so we say, now the Holy Ghost is here. And then they start looking around for him. What about the fact that the Holy Ghost is in you? We say, God is in this place. And they start looking around. And then they hear a sound. But he's inside you. Learn to listen to him inside you. Inside you. Become God inside minded. The God inside minded. He lives in you. He walks in you. He talks in you. Hallelujah. Yesterday we said that you are the living tabernacle of God. It's not an assumption. It's not something that will happen if we believe it enough. It's not something that God is trying to fulfill. He's trying to make it happen if you believe it. No. This is real. When you were born again, the Holy Spirit prepared you as his tabernacle. And when you received him to live in you, he took up his abode in the quarters of your body. Now your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? Don't you know your body is the house of God? Don't you know? Because many don't know. They don't realize it. This is Christianity. Otherwise, what you have is religion. In religion, they have their God out there. In religion, they walk to their God. In religion, they have the temple where God is restricted. In Christianity, God is inside you. He lives in you. Hallelujah. He lives in you. We come to the house of God because it's a place that we have sanctified for the teaching and corporate worship of God, and where also we present our tithes and offerings and gifts and sacrifices to God. But then the God that we serve and worship is both in heaven and in us at the same time. Jesus said, my Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And then he says, my Father in heaven. So, which is which? The Father is in heaven, and the Father is in him by the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit, Jesus called the Holy Spirit Father. Your Father lives in you. Jesus said, my Father that lives in me, he performs the miracles. He does the wonders. So, that cuts me out of it. I don't have to struggle because he works through me. He says, stretch your hands and I'll stretch my hand through your hand. So he looks through my eyes. He walks with my limbs. He occupies my body. He uses my voice. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when you start enjoying the joy of the Holy Spirit, you'd be amazed at how easy it is for you to hear the voice of God. Because there's so many who say, well, I can't say that I have heard the voice of God. Well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And they say, oh, Lord, just speak to me. Oh, God, just talk to me. And God's been talking to them. They just don't know how to accept that God is talking to them. He said, I don't know that God is talking to me. No, you're making too much noise, and that's why you're not hearing him. What noise? Not the noise outside and shouting. No, the noise inside. You are too quiet. Your quietness is too noisy. Can you get it now? Because the joy of the Lord, doesn't the Bible say that God inhabits the praises of his people? That when they start praising God, God dwells in the praises. He manifests himself in their noise of praise, in their shout of praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Are you getting it now? No, when you go for fellowship, don't go like you're going for some morning. You know, come to fellowship like everybody's sick in the fellowship. And if you're the coordinator or the pastor and you always have this long face like everybody's sinning against you, that's not good. You come into the fellowship and shout, glory, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Ma. I mean, even if you have had a terrible day, the house of God is not where you come to. Glory! Woo! Hallelujah! Hey! Glory! Hallelujah! You'd be amazed at the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, when we talk about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, many times when people think we're just dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. No. The gifts of the Spirit are manifestations by which those who are gifted are ministering to those who are in need. That is part of the lowest level of the manifestations of the Spirit. There are higher levels of the manifestations of the Spirit. Sit down. At those higher levels, nobody is ministering to nobody. Are you hearing me? While we are all there and ministering to the Lord and receiving his ministry to us, if you were sick, that sickness disappeared. I mean, if you were discouraged, you suddenly became courageous. If you were afraid, you suddenly became bold. No matter where you were in life, everybody receives the ministration of the Holy Spirit. And we get so full of God, by the time we're walking out of there, guess what I got? Guess what I got? Guess what I got? Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah. You know, what is the kind of church? Sit down again. Hallelujah. You know, what is the kind of church that Jesus is coming for? He's not coming for a church that's queuing up for deliverance. Oh, come on. That's not what he's coming for. He's coming for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing. A church that's reigning in union with God. That's the church he's coming for. Full of joy. Full of joy, not waiting for counseling. No, I'm going through this. Please look into my life and see what the problem is. Demons are troubling me. Say no.
a baby church.
You know, in many quarters, everybody's a babe. Oh, just don't know the word of God. It's amazing. Everybody's just a babe there. The Bible says for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge, oh, I love it, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I told you, to know him is to love him. And when you get to know him, the more you know him, the more glory of him you see. And the more you see his glory, the more glorified you are. As we look what do we look at? The mirror. As we behold the glory of God in the mirror. We behold the glory of God in the mirror. We are transfigured. The more you see, the more that glory is revealed in you. That's why I love the person of Jesus. Because the more I behold him, the more glorious my life is. What do you want your life to be like? You want to be a reflection of him. Right? A reflection of him. You want to carry his divine presence everywhere. You know, I remember one day I was talking to the Lord about the ministry. And while I was talking to him, he said something that blessed me. He said, I give you the best. I was touched. Because I'm trying to find out about ministry and the different kinds of ministries and the things he wanted me to do. And so I was just discussing this with him. He said, I give you the best. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm very grateful. But show me from the word, what is the best? Because, you know, I said, what is the best? And he showed me from the word. And tears came out of my eyes. I said, Lord Jesus, you're amazing. Thank you. Oh, you gave me the best. I'm grateful. See, in our lives, except and unless we recognize what is given us, we'll never walk in it. How do you know what God calls glory? What men call glory is different from what God calls glory. What men call promotion is different from what God calls promotion. Think about it. You're in this place. Yesterday you were here for hours, and then today you've been here several hours. And imagine some other young guys like yourself. Today's Saturday. Where do you think you should find them? Maybe in some bad joint somewhere, or with some colleagues doing something funny, or maybe talking about some other stuff. Some, even at this age, are engrossed in political discussions and political plans. Some are engrossed in discussing business and money. Choose the better road. Are you hearing me? There is a better way. Choose the better road. Walk with the Holy Ghost. When you walk with the Holy Ghost, you will be amazed. You will be amazed. Some people are, they're empowered. How do I even say this? Look at this. Oh, glory to God. Some people can build. You get it? I mean, when once they start pastoring a church, right away, they start the building project. So they're building and building and building. Some may not build. So what does God do? He gives them places where they can get a building that's already prepared. So they take over a building that's already there. Can you see the differences? Some will build from scratch. Some will buy one that is already existing. Different ways. Now, imagine the guy that's building will take some time to build. So he looks at this other guy who's not building and says, "Hi, what are you doing? I'm already building. I'm six feet up already." Well, this other guy says, "Well, I'm not trying to build anything. I want one that is ready for me to buy." Right? You get it? Which means he's not wasting time. While this guy thinks he's wasting time, he's not wasting time because he's looking for one that is already built. And so he finds the one that is already built and he buys it. Did he waste time? No, he didn't. What am I trying to say? Don't look at other people to judge your road. Don't worry. Take the thing that is most important and prioritize it. Prioritize it. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. Humility is important. Very important. Never regard the fellowship as insignificant or small. Never do it. You participate. Be involved. Give your attention to it. Doesn't matter how God promotes you and the opportunities he might give you. It's like your family. See, this is your spiritual family. It's like your family. Even if you became the president of the country, when you enter the house with your family members, you are not president. You are someone's brother or sister. You're someone's son or daughter. You're someone's cousin in the family. You're someone's uncle or you're someone's aunt. That's it. So when you come into the fellowship, you're one of us. And always drive yourself to be one of us because that's who you are. Because that's where the glory continues in your life. Otherwise, you're disconnected from it. Then you find that you're more and more worldly. No. Watch your spirit. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence. Your heart is a garden. Mount guard over your heart. The reason, like we're in this room now, each one of us is the way we are because of how we think. Maybe you think this way or that way. You are the result of your thinking. How you think will create your personality. A proud man is proud because of his thoughts. A humble man is humble because of his thoughts. A kind man is kind because of his thoughts. It's all about your thoughts. Then you have those who are always questioning things. It's because that is the way they think. Jesus said to the Jews that were around him, he said, why do you think like this? He said, why do these kind of thoughts arise in your hearts? The thoughts that were coming to them were the wrong thoughts. He said, why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Why do you think like this? How do you think? Is your way of thinking helping you? Suppose you say to yourself, I want to change the way I think. The only thing that helps you to make that change is the Word of God. One has to be submitted to the Word for the Word to affect him and change him. You give your heart to God's word. You give your mind, your thinking to God's word. Let God, see, he tells us, present your body a living sacrifice. All right? Holy and acceptable unto God. That this is your spiritual act of worship. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. See, don't allow your mind be this mind you've been growing with. No. Renew it with the Word of God. In other words, exchange your way of thinking for His way of thinking. Give up your way of thinking. Accept His way of thinking. You'd be amazed at the growth that you'll experience in your life. You'd be amazed at the blessings in your life. Listen, the blessing, when we talk about blessings, we're not dealing with earthly things. No, 1,000 times no. No, there are higher blessings than that. Far higher blessings than material things of this world. What are you going to do to your person? Let me read you some scripture here. You still there? That awesome didn't sound very loud this time. Is it still awesome? Proverbs chapter 24, and I'm going to read from verse 30. He says, I went by the field of the slothful. I went by the field of the slothful. These are the Proverbs of Solomon. The wisest man who ever lived until Jesus. He says, I went by the field of the slothful. Who is the slothful? This is the guy whose life is full of inaction. He's not going to do the work that's necessary. And I want you to look beyond just the physical labor here, because the Bible does tell us there is such a thing as spiritual labor. So I want you to look at it from both angles. Either one that is lazy physically, or one that is lazy spiritually, or both. Because the result will be the same. The result will be the same. He says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Whew. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Void of understanding. He says, I saw that his field was grown over with thorns and weeds. His field, his garden, his vineyard, covered with thorns and weeds. He says, this is the slothful. This is the man without understanding. Hoy. And the stone wall was broken down. Why? Because these weeds had grown through the cracks and pulled down those things. Haven't you seen walls that have been brought down because some root of a tree or something had grown through that place? Neglected. His field has been neglected. His mind has been neglected. Think about it. You're not introducing God's word into your mind. You're not studying God's word. You're not bringing it into your mind. What do you expect? Spiritual weeds are growing. You're getting more information from the world, more information from politics, more information from business, and all of these sources are not helping you spiritually. And they're bringing in thorns and nettles. And now, your defenses are breaking down. Your defenses are breaking down. You're actually spiritually weaker than you used to be. Then he says, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. See, sometimes we look at other people's lives and we learn a lesson. You see it? I look at that guy and see what has happened with him. I learn a lesson. I say, wow. Oh, it pays to go to fellowship. As it pays to stay in the Bible. He said, I saw it and I received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands of sleep. Look at the result, verse 34. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. In other words, as a robber, and thy want as an armed bandit, an armed man. You now understand why some people will always be poor. Says, I looked and I received instruction. Listen, your mind is far more important than anything else. That's why you have the book, The Power of Your Mind. Very important. Oh, I've seen people who became ministers, preach the gospel, ministers, big time, and they were big. I've seen them come down poor, really poor. And I'm serious. I saw ministers, They ran both church and business. And they lost both business and church. Because there are some of you who might say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be a minister and I'm going to be a businessman. You're not the first. You're not the first. There was one who was with us in school. Let me just tell you. He was into a prophetic ministry. I mean, he was forever into the visions and all of these things. And with those manifestations, he went into this business thing. And at a time, he became suddenly really wealthy. He was big financially. I mean, they brought him by the trucks, things that the materials talk about it. They had a large estate for their work. My brothers and sisters, it is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I tried to get that guy to show him that this is not the way. It's not about the business. It's not about the money. It's not. No. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It was hard to get him to listen. A few years down the road, bam! Because when Satan strikes, it's like that. Why? Because the stone wall had broken down. The whole business, everything, the ministry part of it, the business part of it, everything was leaked up, gone. And he was not the only one. What am I saying to you? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. If you want to understand human life, read the Bible. Man is just doing the same thing in different ways. See? He's doing the same thing in different ways. Travel gets faster, but it's still travel. Communication is faster and easier. It is still communication. It is the same desires we have always had that we are prosecuting with new methods and technology. Man has not changed. So if you want to understand man, his history, his current life, and his destiny, his future, go to the Bible. Man's whole life, beginning to end, is written there. And you can see it, whether he's going in the right direction. You don't need the vision first. Just project his life with the word. Everybody's life is in the Bible. Every one of us. Your life is in the Bible. Your life is in the Bible. As you live your life, you can open the Bible and see your trajectory. Where am I going? It's there. And you can tell if the direction in which you are going is going to land you in the right place or in the wrong place. And so when you look at it like this, I'm projected in the wrong direction. Immediately make a change. Immediately make the change. So that you're projected in the right place. Are you still in this place?